My name is Logan Richardson, and I'm a human being and an artist, and I play music. Saxophonist, alto saxophonist specifically, soprano saxophone moments. I came up listening to cassette tapes and laser disc and mini disc and CDs and these type of things well before an MP3 ever came around. And 33s and 45s, obviously making mixtapes from the 33s and 45s when I was a kid. And I think I always loved music on that level, but obviously not a pressure thing. No one in my family is a musician. No one's a professional artist on that level. So I'm coming from people who, I think, loved music very much, had extremely great taste in terms of listening to music in regards to the different artists or types of music they had around the house. People who drew, people who were really great at doing things in a very natural and raw way. But I'm the only one that really pursued this kind of life of being an artist or musician or whatever. And I think when I was about 12 years old, I was always asking my mother for a saxophone. Well, really for no specific reason, because before this, it was always about, I wanted to play the piano a little bit. Then I just wanted to be around music. I had no specific thing, but with the saxophone, it was always very specific. I wanted saxophone. It used to always be a tenor saxophone, actually. And I didn't know. I don't even know where I got these words. That's what I can't remember. I have so much clarity about everything else, but this I can't really remember. So it's like, oh, I want a tenor saxophone. And, after I think I showed enough interest, and at this period in time, I accidentally ended up in band in seventh grade. So I was 12 then, and I started playing flute. And so I didn't want to play the flute, but my band director made me play it because I told him I wanted to play the saxophone, but they already had a saxophone player. And so all these things were swirling, but I just wanted music. So I started playing the saxophone, and eventually 2 years later, but flute for 2 years from 12 to 14. And then as soon as I could switch the saxophone, I just told my band director in high school, because I was 14 at this time, I switched schools, that I played the saxophone. I told him that I played. And I didn't play, so that means I had to go home and practice with a fingering chart. And I knew how to read music from playing the flute for a couple of years, so I just kind of started practicing all the time. And became pretty obsessive with practicing. Consequently, you still have the elements of life. So, I still had, at home, things weren't necessarily all that great between the parental relationship. And so I think the way, at least my obsession and then the way music kind of came into my life, it created a bit of a surrogate, parent or friend or something like this, to where it was a true relationship. It was like, oh, I'm going to go, be with music now, versus I never, that's a good thing, because even think about it now, I never had to think about this element of, my troubles are so deep, I need to find a way to escape. No, it was just, that's just what it was. But in hindsight, that's exactly what it was. I think there was so much going on and so much to have to process that, honestly, for me, I was able to escape and just be able to find who I was through discovering music, and specifically the saxophone as an instrument and a means of expression specifically. And from that, I learned so many things. I learned responsibility, I learned punctuality, I learned how to shave, I had gigs, because I started playing by the time, playing out, making money on whatever level by the time I was about 16. So yeah, it was pretty fast. I mean, maybe I was naturally talented, sure, or I naturally had some type of inclination, but it was really just a lot of work, and literally, I think when you start something and you really never, ever put it down, I didn't I didn't really hang out with friends. I didn't go play in the street. I didn't party. I didn't really date. I didn't play sport. I kind of play sport. I like sports, you know, because originally I wanted to be a baseball player. That was my whole thing. So, yeah. I mean, I think music really saved my life, and if it wasn't for music, I wouldn't be sitting here speaking with you. So, it's pretty amazing for me. Fairly shy as a kid when I was younger, so I had my opinions, but I didn't necessarily understand the authority inside of myself to be able to state my opinions amidst a situation where there may be a lot of ridicule or whatever for having a thought or an opinion about something, especially if it's different from what the majority is thinking or believing in. The personality I have now is pretty much the same as what I had when I was 14, so it's really not much different. I've gotten older, but that's about it, so... I think I got all of my jazz from all the musics that came out of jazz, and most of the popular musics that I was hearing, or even I was born in 80, so I grew up in the 80s in my extreme adolescence, but a lot of the music I was hearing was from the 70s and from the 60s, so all the same, my brothers were like fanatics about Prince, so I heard a lot of Prince. You know, when hip hop kind of was coming around, you know, here and there you start hearing it, even if no one really ever listened to it so much, but then people started listening to it more in the house, so I started hearing more of that. So really just a lot of different types of music, you know. And I think whatever it took for me ended up being in the form of music by the time I was about 12. It was pretty much in there, but I think even when I was like 9, 10, 11, I was always trying to... There was like a little Casio keyboard in the house, and I would try to learn the soap opera themes and things like that. Or there was like a little book of Mozart with like some Mozart compositions. I love music, so... I think when I started writing, I was... 16 ans. I was 16. And... I don't know. I think I knew that it was important to write your own music, and so I just started kind of trying to write. I don't think I really ever got something that I really enjoyed until I was about 19, though I was playing like my tunes on some level or another when I was about 16 or 17. And I think it wasn't really until after I moved to New York when I was about 21, 22 that then... I don't know. I think much the way I feel about my relationship with music, or this the fact that there's really no separation between the two, I think writing kind of became the same type of thing, to where I started, it was just like there's no way that I could be practicing and working on a group of information or various groups of information without actually writing some things. It was just the natural urge to write just was there. I got to find Jimmy Heath because he came to Kansas City, Missouri, where I'm from, in the United States, and performed in big band and in small group with the school's group. And so I was the saxophone, or the main saxophonist there at the time, so I got to take advantage of all that. And many other people came in at that time. Richard Davis, he came when I was about 19 to the summer program that was happening in Kansas City. Max Roach came, Shirley Scott came. I mean, just a lot of people, you know. So I was fortunate to get to experience many different individuals who were not only messengers, but the messengers from our history's legacy. Wow, who? Bobby Hutcherson. I got to meet Bobby Hutcherson. These getting an opportunity to learn from people like this has been extremely priceless, and one of the few true guiding lights to understanding that the only way to move this legacy forward and to actually truly be a part of it requires having your feet firmly planted on the shoulders of our forefathers, but being aware that there's nothing that we can do except contributing who we are and where we are now, and trying to find a way to link the two sides of the information together. So if I'm of now and that was of yesterday in terms of how some people could see it, then it's my duty to be able to create like this type of bridge, more or less, to be able to make it seamless to where there is no separation, much like there's no separation between myself and music. There's no separation between this music's history and the music's now and where we're going. And I think that all of the history of the music and the tradition has been based off of this ideology. At least that's the way it's written about. You know, when you watch Miles, you watch John Coltrane, you watch any of the great artists who left bodies of work to where we can see the transitions and how they moved with the times that they lived in and so on and so forth. That's one of the truest essences of the music that I know. So, trying to live there. Well, for me, I think the one thing that music has allowed me to be able to see and put into practice is that I had to be able to look at myself. We're dealing with a world, especially now, where there's an endless resource to information and programming and all types of things. But still, the one thing that prevails is that if we don't have ourselves in a firm grip of who we are and what we're trying to do, all of these things will never... they'll never matter. Everything is designed more or less today to kind of keep us running away from that place, because then it's easier to keep you controlled. But if you can see that, if you can just deal with yourself for a short amount of time, it will open up so many different abilities, like to the person theirself. It's everything. Everything is a process of finding you. And if you find you, anything that you want to do or any place you want to go is not even beginning to be an obstacle. It's already, you've already been there. Now it's just a matter of going there again. Anything that you really want to do, it all starts here.